And you might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 12. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, your day, your time, as we remind ourselves, in the light of everything, looking to you to keep us on the right page and thinking in the right way and allowing and looking to you as you outwork your wonderful will for your glory and for your honor. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of our recent days, if you would think of it, we hear people, in our country anyway, looking for Make America Great, and all that transpired for you to be encouraged, building the wall and all of these things, and all of those jobs and everything, taxes better, all of that. That's a window. And the other window is the very opposite of that. None of that. So now, next thought. How do people see and perceive the future for them? Looking out the window on this side over here and this crew over here, looking out the window, how do they see the future? How do you see the next 10 years, next 20 years? How do you see your future retirement and finishing school? How do you see finishing school and all of this? How do you see that? How does the world see that? And if you would ask them to say, to write it out, to think about it, how can you proceed into the future? To what measure do they understand the future? To what measure do people understand history? Are they very conscious of the ingredients that make history? That happening now has to happen? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And to complicate it, you've got the virus kind of setting that fear and control and conformity and green and save the trees and all of these things are going to come to the front. And so as we're looking, what do people have to look forward to proceed? Why get out of bed in the morning? Why get out of bed? You see. So you have, as a believer, you have a wonderful, wonderful window. You have light opposed to darkness. You can understand. You have a path, a future. It isn't a guess. No, it's a real movement. Now, so that's what we were looking at. God, here we are, we know. Knowing something needs to be known so you can practice it. What good is, we mentioned it this morning, what good is anything if it isn't practically profitable to you? Jeanette just reminded me a chair, in one of the little chairs, we got different chairs from the farm 100 years ago, and she reminded me that chair was in 1885. I was sitting in this chair, 1885. I felt so old. sinning in it. That's old. Future, okay. Looking, what do we have for the future? Now, having said that, and the believer has a huge advantage, I don't know, I wouldn't want to be apart from that. I don't know. I've thought of conservatives and people that want right and have written wonderful books about things to try to fix them, which never get fixed. That's very hard. And if you didn't know the Lord as your Savior, you don't have a future that you can see, that you want to see. So, and we have the virus, as I mentioned, that changes. The future as you knew it a year ago is not the same as next year. It isn't the same. The virus has changed all kinds of things. Work, home, school, eating, coming, going, eating a turkey even. I suggest you buy small turkeys if you're all alone, and because you can't have anyone else eat your turkey except you. So, and the violence, I'm jumping for the moment. Remember all the violence that was? They boarded up their buildings. Now, I haven't heard the news. I was interested to see if they were burning the buildings. What happened to the violence? Ah, they won. Who controls the violence? That's interesting. Where did the violence come from? Ah. Now, and so therefore, we looked at this morning to remind ourselves that the world that we live in is evil. The heart of a human being, Mark chapter 7, is evil. Our old nature, evil. That means the absence of God, the absence of good. And so that's what we live in. And evil doesn't get any better. It never gets better. It never wants to get better. Never. Never wants to get right. Better die than get right. So, as we go down, here we are looking at evil, and it goes all the way, gets all the way we shared from the Genesis chapter 6, the Genesis flood, into the tribulation, etc. Evil. It doesn't go away. And we shared together, our country has been in a movement, at least for 5 years, of covering up terrible, terrible criminal evil. And they didn't want it, so the highest ranking people in our country. And they don't want it exposed. And it's never going to be exposed. We put evil up front now. Evil sitting up there. Known evil. They aren't going to fix anything. They aren't going to fix anything. That was the whole point. And that's why you couldn't win the election if you tried. You would have to have some way to stop, and they couldn't stop it. They couldn't persecute, as we mentioned, prosecute. They couldn't prosecute anybody. All of these months of known guilty people, they wouldn't let it out. They wouldn't let it loose. So we got all of that. All of that we're facing. And we shared together, it's a critical time. We're at a time in history that never has occurred prophetically. So, having said that, adding to that, if I may, and all of that, it's an awesome time. So therefore, Matthew chapter 12, God, as we mentioned this morning on our journey, our Lord Jesus Christ, they were going to reject him and crucify him. And our Lord says in chapter 12, verse 39, "And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The only sign is God's resurrection and God's grace. God is showing his empty tomb. How's he show his empty tomb? By people walking around, whosoever's that believe. They're part of his body. And I had this is my last little flower. But when I saw those, I took this. Now, excuse me. When you get saved, you have this. Use the flower. You have this. And when you get saved, you belong to this, the whole plant. That's what you do. So as you're sitting there, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you are having this, and if our hearts were right, we're showing this. We aren't sitting here to sing. We aren't sitting here. We're sitting here as believers assembled together, which is the body, church assembly, assembled together to show the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the local church. So as we proceed, you want to be able to, the world doesn't have this. The believing heart does. The believing heart has received Christ as their Savior. And that they are part of this wonderful, wonderful flower. The plant is, the leaf. We are part of the wonderful person of God in the person of Jesus Christ, just like this. We all belong right now. Right now. So as we're looking, and going to take a fast, won't go very far, but we'll try as we go. All of it is true, not because you or the world or your flesh, your evil nature, no. It's true because of Christ in you. That's why it's true. And that's why you're part of this. So all of what we're looking to look at. So now here's evil and adulterous generation. Evil, 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 evil. And we're living in evil that is pronounced in power. Power. There's no way to cut this. There's no way to change this. There's no government. There's no government because the government's on top. There's nowhere to go to fix it. There's no one up higher. At the highest, we're dead and guilty of evil. Now, therefore, over if you would please, in your Bible, over to the Gospel of John. I'm just going to run through things that we are supposed to be knowing as believers. So if we're reminded that we belong to the flower, I understand that. If you don't get that, we're reading something and it won't make any sense to you. The reason what we're reading is true is because of this. It's because of Christ in you that all we're going to read is as solid as ever could be. Say it another way. Heaven and earth will pass away before God won't fulfill what he said. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. What did he say? Remember he said, as my Father sent me this morning, so send I you. So over here, what else did you say at that time? And you remember it as we were doing it till we were interrupted by the virus. And John chapter 14. And I'm going to read it. Just read it again because it got it. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world's all up and wonderful, wonderful. No, it isn't wonderful, but they think it's wonderful. And if we join them, we're going to be thinking it's wonderful when it isn't wonderful. And verse 27, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So that means you want a little island of safety somewhere. Wherever you are, there's danger, trouble, and a lot of things to get afraid of. But don't be afraid. Chapter 15, And verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So that's why fear. The world hates you. The world hates us. So that's why they're there. And we understand that. Chapter 16. And verse 33, our Lord said, these things, we've been reading them. We looked at them for a little bit before the virus. And here we are reading it again. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have peace. You're not going to have it in the world. In the world, you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, oppression. But be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. Now, that's why, here's my little flower. I have overcome the world. You didn't overcome the world. I overcame the world, said Christ. I did. So we're looking to have something and feel something and want something. But it isn't going to be in you. It isn't in your intelligence and your IQ. It's in the wonderful person and presence of Christ. That's why it's true. So if you're looking for some, I don't feel it. I don't know. You don't have to feel it. You just have to know it. Over now, having said that, I've overcome the world. Oh, John, are you going to say it again before you, in the end of the century? Over to 1 John. And in 1 John, if I can, chapter 5, keeping in mind, remember we said evil is there, and I'm going to pick it up just to put it together. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God. And the world that wants to have us a false peace, world that wants to make us afraid, the whole world lieth like in a coffin. The whole world lieth in the wickedness, and again, the little T-H-E in front of it, the wicked one, the evil one, the devil, Satan. He's the boss of this whole system. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, what do we know? The world. We're in the world, and the Lord Jesus said, but you're not of the world. Okay. Over to, if I can, to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, picking up, please. In chapter 4, sliding down, if I can, to verse 4. You are of God, little children, and you are of God, little children, and have overcome, little word, prevail, to have the victory, overcome them, the evil spirits and all of the stuff in the world, in the satanic world, overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And again, it's because of Christ in you. How can we handle the world we live in? It's overwhelming, absolutely. We're in it, but not of it. And we have to understand we're able to overcome now because of Christ in us. And that's why you're going to overcome. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the devil. The devil's the boss. The whole world lies in the wicked one. So here we are looking at that. And God, you're going to give us the victory. Chapter 5. Where are we going to have the victory over? Among other things, chapter 5 and verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God, whosoever is born of God, overcometh, there's your little word, overcome, prevail, overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. There it is again, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh, again, the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So when I received the Lord as my Savior, he said, John chapter 16, 33, I have overcome the world. I in you have overcome the world. the world system. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. The world system's going where it's going, and it isn't going to stop till I stop it, he said. So here we are. Now, God, in a wonderful, wonderful way. Sliding over now, keeping that in mind, that God, you made us to be overcomers. That means we aren't to sink down, get depressed, depleted, disappointed, discouraged, and all the words that line up. No, we don't have to do that. You don't have to do that, because you aren't there. The ship's sinking, the ship is going to be underwater, but you aren't going to go. You don't belong anymore. The world is condemned. But you and the world that stays condemned. The wrath of God is sitting, coming down upon the world. But it isn't on you. You are in Christ. That's where you are. That's where you belong. You have to belong. That's what happens when you get saved. So now, over if you would to second, go over to Daniel first. Daniel in chapter 2. And in Daniel in chapter 2, remember, history is outworked, and it's God's wonderful program. And all of that history has to do with Israel being put aside and the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles being outworked. So when we came and reminded ourselves in Daniel chapter 2, we reminded ourselves that when we went, and here's the legs of iron. Iron is Rome, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, fourth one. Rome, the legs of iron. Now the legs of iron don't become some other metal. The legs of iron become feet, only this time of iron and clay. Rome, not like under Caesar, Rome, like it is today, Europe. Roman Empire broke up, and all the way back from all the different ones that have tried to revive the Roman Empire, the Tower of Babel, etc., to revive it. And it's going to be revived. And that's where we are. We're all part of this social power, iron on one stand strong, clay on the other not very strong. Not like all iron. And so here we are going, and we're there. We're right there. And the next thing, God said, we mentioned it before, there is no United States, make America great in that. United States is part of the system, part of Europe. That's where we came from in our founding of our country. So in the light of that, we remember now the verse 43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle, mix themselves with the seed of men, all mixed up, social communism and everything else. They shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So there's no. It goes right from the European community. Europe is going to rise up. That's it. United States. Make America great, the greatest nation on earth. Not found. Chapter 7. And we go to the fourth beast, wild beast. Chapter 7, verse 3. And four great beasts came up from the sea, Gentiles, diverse one from another. And Babylon was swallowed up by Media Persia. Media Persia was swallowed up by Greece. Greece is swallowed up by Rome. And Rome just gets divided up. So when we come over to verse 7, and I saw the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. We're still in the iron business, feet of iron and clay. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts. It was like no other. No other ever nation, no other kingdom was ever like this one. And that were before it. And it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. And we did all this, but I can't do that now, obviously. God, the Antichrist is going to come out of those 10 nations. That's where he's going to come. He's going to make a treaty with Israel. Israel has one with us. But we aren't. We're going to get swallowed up because we're done. We're done. We aren't going to honor. Make America great means life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we are going to eliminate the Declaration and the Constitution. I don't know quite how that's going to go, but it's going to go. Now in the process. So what do you got? You got whatever's left, you see. And what is left? Well, if you take that away, all you have is where Europe and all the other countries are, apart from Islamic, and that would be socialism, communism. That's what you got. What do they want to push? What have they been pushing for over all these years? That's why the present person up there, he didn't want to be. He got put in that place. You know that. You know that. He didn't win anything. He just was put there by the system because the system can use him. You don't want the other guy that's socialist. You don't want to say that to people. And the radical other people that were running, you don't want to go and have them because they're so radical. You got to have someone that isn't radical, and that's what they got. And that's what they put up front to do that. Now, having said that, so the United States goes down, as we shared, and Europe goes up. That's what it has to be. And now we shared that. Now keeping the 2 Thessalonians. Is that going to be? Yeah, that's where it is. But right now, God is the only sign God is going to show them is the sign of the prophet Jonah, the grace of God. What are we do? We are custodians of the dispensation of grace. We are saved by grace. Christ in us is the grace of God, and we're demonstrating the resurrected life of Christ, which is the grace of God. Awaiting what? The wrath of God. But this in between, no, that's just a little thing. And God's going to take it away, rapture, take it out of the picture so the finish can take place, the horn, the 10 horns, etc. Now, 2 Timothy, again, I start to say, 2 Timothy and chapter 2, and picking up, please, in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse. Let me get there myself. I said 2 Timothy. I did say that. I should have said 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Thank you. Chapter 2, just remind yourself. I have to go directly to the in the light of it. Verse 4, who opposes the man of sin, the Antichrist, son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Over everything that I told you, it all has to disappear. Revelation 17, the religion disappears as we know it. And the devil's going to go and have his one goal, to worship. He is to be worshipped, period. At the cost of whatever. You can't buy or sell unless you worship him, unless you honor him. Now, so the system's headed there. And in the process, it's headed there, and it's only held up by verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness, doth already work. Here we are, we're living in it. The mystery of lawlessness is already working. You'd say, how come it works? How come it isn't going to change? It's a mystery. Do you understand that America is given the right to rise up and in the Reformation and the Revolution that gave us our country, etc.? That rised up, but it isn't meant to stay. It was just there for a bit. And so therefore, God's going to take it up, the church. Verse 7, only he who now letteth, hindereth, will hinder. Will let hinder until he be taken out of the way. And when the Spirit of God takes the church up, the tribulation begins. In an official way, Israel signs a treaty. You remember Daniel 9:27, Israel signs a treaty, Antichrist, for 7 years for peace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and the devil wants that. What's the devil want? Worship. The devil wants it. And he's shooting for it. And you remember, without turning there, in Isaiah chapter 14, 13 and that, I want my throne, underlined, to be above and equal up there where God's is. I want my throne to be up where God's throne is. That's what I want. So I can get all the worship that comes God's way. I'll find it being shot at and the worship being centered and directed towards me. That's what I want. I got my bad angels. I'm going to have all the humans, and they're going to do that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God in his grace has done something wonderful. Over, if you would please, to Revelation. Now the devil's going to do, and God's going to do. Over to Revelation. And in chapter 2, just reminding us, or chapter 3 better, Revelation chapter 3, picking up. What do we know? Well, God, you're going to go and do what? Well, remember the church in Laodicea, verse 15, 16, 17, that you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need nothing, don't need anything, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. That's the condition of the church we live in this end of the age apostasy. Now, so God, what are you going to say then? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, verse 20. If any one, boy or girl, man or woman, hears my voice and opens the door, back to your little leaf and the flower, I will come into him. I will come into him. All right, I got that. I will sup with him, he with me. I'll prepare a table before you. You're going to enjoy God's wonderful person and presence. And, verse 21, and to him that overcometh, we just read, we're all supposed to be overcoming. We overcome the world, we overcome the devil, we overcome. It's real. We aren't going to get it, lose it. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, what do you say, God? What does the devil want? Now, what God is doing? He's making the war is between God and the devil about worship and all of creation honors God. All of creation has to honor God. God will not give honor to the flesh, his glory to anything except himself. That's why God dies on the cross, as it were. That's why God dies. God goes to the cross. God solves the problem. God puts it together. So God is the start, the finish, and the end. God does it all. No one else is going to get it. No one else can have credit. Thank you, God. Now, therefore, God, what about? Well, I'm going to go and do something, and they rejected me. So what are you going to do? The head, Christ the head, without turning there in Ephesians and all of that, Christ is the head. When he saves us, back to the flower, When he saves us, he puts us into the flower. His body. His body. Uh-huh. Now, what are you going to do with that body? It's where I'm going to sit. And it is going to sit where I sit. Wherever I am, it is. And what the devil wanted, you are going to have. The devil wanted to sit where God sits. What are you doing, God? I'm going to have you sit where he wants to sit. To show what? The grace of God. That's what I'm going to do. All the angels, zillions of them, all over, and everything, Israel. But where are you? In Christ. Seated. Seated. For what? To show his grace. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of all of it, and we shared together, and I did that, I won't even take time. Remember China? Well, you can't have that. You have to understand where we're going, and you understand China coming across, coming westward, literally coming westward. Iran, Saudi Arabia coming in that direction, Europe coming in that direction, Africa, what are you doing? I'm making it for my rails and roads and shipping and ports, and we're going to have them. China's making, having the largest navy, is going to be repositioning itself, not to kill it, to be the head nation of it all. And that's there right now. That's happening now. See, and that's going to trigger, I think, without saying all of that, I think that's going to trigger the European Union doesn't want to get clobbered. They got their relationships for business, economy, and the God of this world is not Chinese. The God of this world isn't interested in communism. He's interested in occupying 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He's interested in occupying the temple in Jerusalem as God. So therefore, here's the United coming. We're down. Europe is going to rise up with 10 horns ultimately here. And in the process, they need a man. Don't they need a man now? You read, been watching? What are we looking for? We're looking for a man that can put the pieces together. Not in China and not here. In putting the European Union together for power. Because out of the European Union are the 10 horns and the little horn, the Antichrist. That's where he comes from. So what's going to trigger it? I'm guessing, just a guess, if China is so aggressive, and they are, and so therefore that's going to trigger all the rest of the stuff going on. Iran, nuclear, all the stuff, and all the stuff we were trying to do to fix it, let's forget that. So what do we got? And here we are in this country, we shared that, Wall Street and that, trillions of dollars, trillions, not with a T, not a B, trillions of dollars invested in Chinese companies. Wall Street is betting on China, not America. Wall Street isn't interested in making America great, there's no money in it. AT&T, Disney, they line up. It isn't about, there's no money here. The money is in China, and it's a huge market, and we want to be part of it. So you see how hard it is to fix anything, to change anything. This is where the bucks are. What is most important? It isn't whether you have American flag. The flag, we won't probably ever, I don't know. I'm interested to see what's going to happen if we ever salute to the flag again. I'm interested to see how that's going to go, you see. Wow, so here we are going. And it's, you will fix the corruption's one thing. The evil in our own top of the pile is evil. But that isn't as much as the evil has allowed in its activity open the door to where we get swallowed up in being overwhelmed. And we're controlled by people, threats from anybody, nuclear, China. Are we going to, China says you better let us do it or else. And but we went where we would have stood up against him? No, not anymore. Not anymore. Who's going to stand up against him? So all of that. And so you can't overcome this. Do you understand? The economy, the Chinese own the education system and the financial dumb things and the politics, they're all over the place. Communism, socialism, all the people that ran in when the election was taking place. It's all there. You won't find. Try to find it. Try to find some good in it. That doesn't mean there aren't good people. It doesn't mean there aren't wonderful things. It just means the movement is so powerful. You can't overcome it. We could not overcome the evil in Washington. We couldn't overcome it. Trump was there for 4 years, but you couldn't overcome. He was so busy trying to survive. What do we learn? What we learn is they are powerful. And God said that in the first place. Does the world generally that are cheering or whatever, they don't care because they think that's good. But they don't understand where it's going. So therefore looking in God's wonderful grace, God is going to position us. So God having, if you're going to have that in mind, and the political, all of this, China and politics and socialism, and if they get a socialist for the secretary, whatever you're going to do, they may do that, you know, names, you know, all those things. The guy, the socialist guy, and all that stuff. That becomes, and one, health care, got to fix health care, you know, universal health care. Sounds good. But it isn't good. Anyway, all of that taking place. So in the light of that, would you go over with me to get a little bit of the help here? In the light of all of it, Revelation, well, you're in there already. Revelation chapter 6. Now, here we are looking, and God is going to do a wonderful thing. Now, before I do that, hold your finger here and go back with me, please, over to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. And we were there the other day, and I just want to remind you, so you put the pieces together, perhaps. Psalm number 11, David is telling us, he's being persecuted, hunted down, Saul and all of that. Psalm 11, verse 1. In the Lord, said David, put I my trust. How, say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. They're telling David, you got to run, be scared and run. And David said, where can I run to? Where do you want to run to? They say, well, I'm going to move. Well, what state do you think won't be affected? These United States are all of them. Where are you going to run? You're going to run outside the country? Well, Iceland is pretty good. I mean, if not many people up there, you know. If you get an eagle by yourself and have enough spears to get a seal or two, so you stay alive. You know, that's fine. But where are you going to run? There's nowhere to run. David knew that. You don't run away from evil. Evil is everywhere. The bad guys are everywhere. So you don't run. You don't run. What do? Sliding down. Remember, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But, verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. What did you know, David? God. Where is your throne? You don't have to look it all up, Isaiah 66 and that one. God, where is your throne? He said, heaven is my throne. Heaven's my throne. Boy, that's big. Yeah, he said. How big is that throne? That's big. Heaven is my throne. David, what are you doing? I'm trusting God who's on the throne. Who's in charge? Heaven is in charge. God is in charge. Now, having said that, back over to Revelation chapter 6. And in Revelation chapter 6, you will notice, please, if I may, I'm going to go right to the end of chapter 6 to verse 16. I'm even going to read verse 15 for a little better context. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, worker, slave, employee, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Why? Verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us, the throne. The shots are all going to be called from God on the throne. David, did you know that? I did. What are we supposed to be knowing? God happens to be in charge in his sovereign, righteous way. He's in charge. And he isn't gone taking a vacation. He's on the throne. I'll read verse 17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, without taking time, if you took time and read in Revelation, the word throne is used of God 40 times in the book of Revelation. Just about 40. I'm thinking it's pretty good. 40 times in Revelation. In the Revelation, when all is taking place and hell breaks loose, as it were, God, what are you going to do? I'm on the throne. And I want you to know everything that's happening. I'm in charge. I'm on the throne. I'm not taking a vacation. I'm running. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm running the show. I'm going to make it all work out. The 10 toes, everything has to work out just so. And I'm on the throne to make it happen in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and having said that and keeping that in mind, so go, if I can, over to Psalm. No, forget Psalm at this point. To Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. And Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, please, as you'd know, going directly to that, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging each other, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It's changing. It's going to change. It's already in the state of flux, moving. It's moving. Like never before, at least a big shift has taken place that never was existent. Now, when you're saying, God, well, You better make sure you keep the flower. Make sure you understand you're part of the flower. Don't try to be out here and never, because then you don't enjoy all of these words and all of these truths, because you're trying to claim them without belonging to the whole. You belong to Christ, his body. You want some, there aren't seven different Christ, seven different gods, there's only one. And you need to belong. You need to practice that and enjoy that. I belong. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as you're going to see, what? The day doesn't want you to exist. They don't want this flower to exist. They don't want the church to exist. And in fact, God's going to accommodate them. God, how are you going to accommodate them? I'm going to take you all up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to accommodate them. But they're going to be very, very sad ultimately, because then the grace of God is gone and the wrath of God is leveled upon them, like you read in Revelation chapter 6. So he said, I'm going to accommodate you, but at the right time. So what are we waiting for? We're waiting to finish off to be this in its fullness. That's right. Now, having said that, over to John. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. Remember, we're looking for the Lord's return, and that's what holds context, Hebrews 10. Matthew chapter 8. Now, here's our Lord. David's walking. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the deep darkness, and all of that. Matthew chapter 8. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to give you some illustrations, he said. I did them. And I want them recorded. So what did you record? Well, chapter 8, sliding if I can to verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and there they all got in the ship. And behold, there arose a great tempest, storm in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. You remember that? He got in the sea, he was tired, and went to sleep. And they all got in and pushed out to sea. Here's the storm. And verse 25, and his disciples came to him, because he's asleep, and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. We're perishing. We're going to sink. We're professional Galilean fishermen. But boy, this is some storm. We aren't going to make it. It's a storm. Uh-huh. Now, God, what were you trying to tell them? Well, they were going to learn something. Verse 26, he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, from great turmoil to a great calm. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will mount God on your heart in all of the turmoil. Do not let, John 16, 33, don't let your, 14, 24, 27, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let me. I have overcome the world. Don't let it happen. Now, I got that part. Now, let's take it a step further. Chapter 14 in the Gospel of Matthew. And if I can, verse 24, 17 and 24. Here's the ship again, different time. They had a wonderful ocean experience all the time, fishermen. Verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary to any kind of safety. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled. Now remember now, the ship, they're in crisis in the ship. But in the ship, as they are trying to work through it, there he is walking to them in the waves. And if you have any sense of that, a wonderful thing that would be. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, verse 26, saying, it is a spirit. and they cried for fear. Yeah, because God got them. And therefore, for fear. But straightway, Peter looking, and he said, Jesus spake unto them, saying, God calmed them down, be of good cheer, be of good courage. Remember chapter 16, verse 33 of John. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now the waves are still going, the ship's still in jeopardy, still there. And he tells them, don't be afraid. He's walking on water. They're trying to calm the water, but it isn't calm. Therefore, Peter picked up he got it. Be not afraid. Okay, Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Which is a wonderful thing, actually. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, that's awesome. That's an awesome thing. You're doing the impossible, Peter. That's right. I'm doing the impossible. I'm doing the impossible. You can't do the impossible. No one walks on water. What am I doing walking on water? Well, because God said to come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Come. Well, Peter, he said, this is not right. So I belong down below. And he started to sink. That's what he did. Because he said, this isn't right. God can't protect me. God can't save me. God, no. So therefore, in verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. That's the only logical thing at that point. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, he was asleep, and they were told to relax. What do you mean? Well, God, you aren't doing anything. God must be asleep. God, are you asleep? God, are you going to do anything? No, he must be asleep. I know he isn't asleep. But it seems like it, huh? Must be. And then, God, here comes the storm again, Peter. And what did you learn, Peter? Not much. But I'm going to start to walk. I'm going to walk through this mess. I'm going to live through it. I'm going to work through it. I'm going to be a flower. I'm going to enjoy being a flower, being Christ, belonging to him, till he comes and takes me. Uh-huh. That's impossible. You can't be a flower. Go look in the mirror. You don't look like a flower. How many of you look like a flower? That's impossible. Nah. And you start sinking. Because you didn't believe. God said, you won't sink. Can we survive? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want you to sink. God, we're going to get clipped. In the tribulation, you can bet you're going to get clipped. In the tribulation, I'm going to allow believers to get butchered. But not yet. That doesn't mean it can't happen, but not yet, generally, not going to happen. So therefore, now in closing in thought, we opened with the only sign I'm going to give him is a sign of prophet Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the whale's belly, so shall I be. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, Jonah, where do you fit in? Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is one evil place. I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them to repent. Jonah says, those rascals, I'm not going to Washington and fix it. They don't deserve it. Okay. They don't deserve it. Okay. But, so Jonah got on the ship and wrong the other direction. And of course, all of it you know, God. Jonah said, the only way you can save this ship is throw me overboard. And Jonah, did you care about dying in the water and drowning? No, you did not. You did not. You were so going to honor God and not go to that evil place and be a testimony. And so the whale, the great fish, came along and took you in, and you enjoyed him for a bit, and he enjoyed you. He couldn't consume you. He enjoyed you. You were special, special creature. And then when God was ready, Jonah was ready, and he spit Jonah up, and you can just see him and land on the beach. And there he is, okay. And now what, Jonah? I'm going to go, and I went up and down the city for 40 days, telling them, in 40 days, I should say, God is going to judge Nineveh. And you know what they did? They repented. They never got saved. We don't have that. They changed. They changed what they were, like Billy Sunday years ago. Came through town, and the bar, they hated Billy Sunday and them because the bar rooms closed. People wouldn't go drink. They wouldn't do. Everything stopped. They hated. So here's Jonah, and Jonah says, the wrath of God is coming to Nineveh. You got in 40 days. And they repented. They repented. What are you doing? God, here we are. We aren't in the fish's belly. No. 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 Are we walking in the sea? We're in a thing, and it isn't going to be one picnic. It isn't a picnic. It's an assignment, and to preach. By that I mean to be an example that God keeps his own and cares for them, and they belong to him. So at work, at home, at school, you belong to him. You belong to me, and I belong to you. In Christ. That's what we do. And what are we saying? Pretty soon, maybe sooner than we can ever expect. And God tells us to think like that. I'm going to take you home at any moment. Any moment can prophetically, all the things can happen once we go. Wow. I'm going to do it. I'm going to accommodate the world. They want to get rid of you, and they will. I'm going to take you home. But in the meantime, be an example of my grace and show my wonderful relationship. Show the relationship you have to me, I should say. Wow. That's what I want. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to fix anything. You would sure like to. We sure would. And we'd do whatever we could. But don't be discouraged. It has to work itself out. It must work. So don't try to worry about it. Let me work it out, and I'll do it. Therefore, quit. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you for everything a little bit. God, we just try to remind ourselves of some things we ought to be knowing. And knowing them, God, it ought to make a difference at work, at home, at school, because we do know them, because we do understand them. So God, help us to practice, to enjoy your wonderful person and presence. Even so, come. In Christ's name, amen.